Peace and blessings, everybody. You're listening to The Good Brother Experience, where it is I, the good brother, the original black man. I am Reek. What you doing? How you doing? How you been? For starters, you got to drink some water. I know when you be on that toilet and that shit is extra rock and you just calling for everybody for help. Like, damn, what did I do to myself? What you're doing to yourself is you're not hydrating your body. You need to do what needs to be done. Secondarily, rate, review, and subscribe to my program. Leave your boy some stars. On the path of getting popping, commentary is necessary, so leave some comments in that and get me popping out here. And I mean, I can't do this without you. And really and truly, you can't do this without me because I'm the sex symbol. Who are we fooling? Last but not least, if you would like to send me an email, email me at goodbrotherexperience@yahoo.com. Once again, that's goodbrotherexperience@yahoo.com. Now, you see the description. You see what's going on. But we are going to peel some layers back. And what I mean by that is I'm going to have a conversation with one of the brighter creatives that I've met within the past year or so. I had the opportunity to be on her program to spew some of my fuckery. Here we are, on the phone, the one, the only, Alade. Alade, are you with us?
Hi. What an introduction, first of all. That was cute.
I mean, it had to be done. So, you know, I've been peeping you. You feel me? And as I've been peeping you, there's been some questions that I've had. Starting from this, I just wanted to be a little open about what I've had going on, right? You know, with being somebody that's in the creative realm, such as yourself, I've always been told, like, these things that have pretty much sound like an echo chamber from everybody who's been successful. Like, you're nobody without your team. You're nobody without direction. You can't do this by yourself, whatever have you. And from what I've been seeing from you, you are a one-man army, but you've actually cultivated a team of people that actually share the same vision as you. How exactly did you do that?
Well, I didn't really cultivate a team. That's the crazy part. It's like as I continued to do things and kind of like put my head down, like people just started to reach out to me. It was just like, I love this thing that you do. How can I help? How can I be a part of it? And I'm just like, oh, you want to be a part of this? Like, what are you good at? Because that's another thing. Sometimes people just like, oh, I see what you're doing. I want to be a part of it, but they don't really even know their own skill set. Mm-hmm. So it kind of started there where people just wanted to, they were just like emailing me, just telling me that they wanted to be a part of it. And then I'm just like, okay, what are your skill sets? Like, what do you do? What are you good at? And then kind of going from there. But yeah, for the most part, it's been like you said, a one-man band, for real.
Yeah, I was trying to chronicle what I could chronicle in the short amount of time that I've known you. And okay. The one thing that is coming clear to me is, you know, Bay Dates, you know, for those of you guys that don't follow that, go on Instagram and follow Bay Dates, BAEDATES. That's a creative endeavor of yours, but I know that's not the only creative endeavor. So why do you think this one in particular is the one that gained the most popularity?
Honestly, it's the one that I decided to be the most consistent with.
Right.
But I feel like that is like a, it's such an overstated thing, but it's really true as far as just like how consistency matters. I started dating in 2017. Nobody cared for maybe like the first 2 or 3 years, but you still have to do stuff to, you know, kind of drop, you know, the sweat equity in the bucket in the meantime, while no one is really paying attention. And, you know, then things, unexpected things like a pandemic can happen where everybody have more time on their hands to like kind of check out the work that you've been doing. And before you know it, it's like, oh, this is dope. So that also, I do believe it's a relatable platform. Because that's another thing. You can be consistent in something that's trash and it will remain trash because consistency will not, is not a fixer-upper for trash things. So that's another important quality it must have. It must be good, but you must also be consistent.
Yeah, 100%. And I've seen the evolution from it. And this was something that wasn't even on my radar, you know, if it wasn't for Temp. So.
Right.
So for those of
you. And the funny thing is, you weren't even, like, can I just say this real quick?
Sure.
I had no idea who you were. All right. So for your listeners who are unaware of who I am and what BaitEights is, BaitEights is a platform, a dating platform that I started in 2017. And originally it started to be a date ideas platform to give specifically Black millennials in New York City ideas to date. Because the slogan used to be when Netflix and chill ain't enough. It was supposed to just, at the time I was in a relationship or I was dating and I was just going places and people would ask me for places to go. So I was just like, surely there's like a platform for this. And then I looked into it. It really wasn't, or the ones that I did find, to me, wasn't of the culture. It wasn't Black enough. So I was just like, okay, I'll create it. And as time progressed and as my life changed, my interests changed. So it kind of pivoted from being a date ideas platform to essentially just a community where instead of suggesting things for people to do, started just asking more questions, and like it's just about like the way that people are choosing to live their life and specifically their dating life and all of that. So that kind of progressed into like other things. But yeah, I didn't know who you were either until you sat across from me on the when we were taping for our web series Off the Cuff. And within like 15 minutes talking to you, I was just like, who is this man? This man is a star. I was like, he's a star. I don't know who he is, but he's a star. And like, I still believe that. I very much so believe that you were a star. And I don't know all of your endeavors, but one of them is going to pop because you have the thing. I just think you've just probably need to figure out how to channel it in the best way, but you are destined for stardom.
Well, one, I appreciate that. You know what I mean? And that's another reason why I wanted to have you on my show, because, you know, one of the producers of Off the Cuff is a friend of ours by the name of Temp. And Temp hit me, was like,
that's Templeton.
That means shout out to Templeton and all that. So hit me. Because I was on Temp's show, I want to say like 2 years ago when he had a podcast of his own. And, okay. And we kept in contact. So Temp hit me on some random shit like, yo, Reek, this is a Nat. Yo, I'm producing this dating situation, bro. I think you'd be perfect for it. And, you know, one thing about me is I don't say no to Black people, like ever. Like, I don't care if the show has like 10 views or 10 million. If you're somebody I know and if you're Black, I'm probably going to do it.
Let's talk a little bit more about that maybe off, because I'm like, maybe you should start saying no to some things.
Maybe. But, you know, I haven't crafted that type of maturity as far as the endeavors.
I call it the Beyonce effect. Like, you just can't, you know how she doesn't like pop up everywhere, but when she does, people notice.
Right.
It's just like, I feel like having this Beyonce demeanor early will maybe make your, like, when you do decide to pop up, like, oh, Reek's here. Like,
no. So we'll discuss why I somewhat disagree in just 1 second.
Okay.
I mean, I want to give the overall view of how this happened.
So okay.
I'm chilling. I'm doing my 1-2, just doing regular Reek stuff. And then Temp hits me like, yo, fam, what's goody? Like, yo, Temp, what's going on? It's been a little minute. He's like, yo, listen, man, I'm producing this show. This show looks like your style. I'm like, word? Like, what's going on? He's like, yo. I mean, it's made by Black women. I'm like, made by Black women. Word? He's like, yeah, son. I'm like, word? He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna pull up. Where's it happening at? He's like, yo, it's on this obscure block in Brooklyn, bro. You need to pull up. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. You know what I mean? I've been around there. You know, I'm pretty sure I've done dubious acts in that neighborhood in my past. So, all right, let's do it. So I'll pull up, and I'm coming through, and I'm meeting everybody that, whether it be like me signing waiver forms, I'm like, all right, there's some professionalism in this motherfucker. Okay, there's wine, there's chips. There's black women on computers. Okay, I'm fucking with this type of situation. And meanwhile, I'm in a space where I don't know any goddamn body. I didn't know where to walk. So then I meet you. And Tim was like, yo, listen, man, this is a latte, whatever have you. You know, we start to introduce ourselves to one another. And I'm just looking at the command you had over everyone. Because, like I said 2 minutes ago, it's very seldom that I say no to things. So I've been to sets that are catastrophes. I've been to sets that aren't really well organized. I've had to help out with complete strangers, all this type of shit, right? And I'm seeing, like, yo, you're very, like, you have great posture. And as I'm answering these questions, I'm like, yo, these questions are so well thought out. This show has to pop. You know what I'm saying? And what the reason why I'm saying all of this is, you know, with the off the cuff, you know, that derives what I'm guessing from Bay Dates. What made you want to bring it to that type of platform? Like, it seems like an evolution from the thing that you was doing previously.
Oh, for sure. It's not something that just, like, it's almost like it was like the next step. I started Bay Dates in 2017. I think I started Bay Dates, let's say, it was like around Valentine's Day of 2017. I introduced asking questions on a weekly basis. Maybe that October. So every Monday, with just like a set of questions that I would just ask. And, you know, as time progressed, the amount of people who would participate progressed. So it went from maybe like 90 people to 150 people, all the way to like maybe like 700 people who would like participate over time. And I was just like, okay, I have all of this data and all this content that I do in the stories. What is the next step? And I saw it progressing in twofold. The next step being, you know, a card game, and the next step being a digital, like, moving on to video. Because I'm like, everything can't just live in the stories of Instagram. Like, that's just such a small corner. So it was the sweat equity that I did, you know, 3-4 years prior that, when I announced, like, hey, we're taking this to video form, that it was a no-brainer for certain people to just kind of sign up, because it's just like, we already know the vibe. So I say that to say, like, you know, sometimes people just kind of pop up out of nowhere, like, just doing things and expect people to be excited about it. Or it's just like, one thing I can promise you off rip is most people aren't going to care about what you got going on. And that does not mean that the thing that you're doing isn't amazing. It just, like, just off rip, people just don't care about things that just don't involve them, that they didn't start, whatever the case may be. But because I've just been laying the groundwork for so many years, that when I decided, okay, it's time to evolve out of the stories into video form, it wasn't that hard to get people to sign up, even though they didn't really fully know what was going to happen.
100%. I'm following.
So, yeah, that's kind of, and I also just didn't want all of my content to just live on Instagram, because right. we've experienced, you know, Instagram shutting down for the day and all that kind of stuff. And if that's the only way that you are able to connect with your audience, you're in some trouble. So expanding to other platforms is also very necessary. So, you know, and it's also very difficult, because it's like starting all over again. I think we're probably like 300 subscribers, but it's like, you would think you gotta pay, like, people have to pay to subscribe to things, because it's just such a difficult task to get people to just subscribe.
Man,
but
you
know,
you
say it again?
I said, who are you telling? I mean,
yeah.
I already know.
So everything is earned. That's one thing that I've learned. Everything is earned. And you have to just be in it for the long haul to just understand building anything of value is just going to take some time.
So it's funny that you say that, because I believe it was on your story, and this is when you was doing if I'm remembering correctly, you was wearing like a white shirt and blue jeans, and there was a slow-mo of you smiling. And I don't know if this was a caption or if this was just a brief thing you put into your story, but you were saying, although you chose to be behind the camera, you know, you've been practicing your smile and your gestures since you was a child. So you knew. So you knew you wanted to be a star. So my question to you is, with you, you know, like I said before, when I came on the set, there was a level of professionalism and there was a level of comfort that you established for every guest that you had. What made you want to have the type of camera angle to where you was out of it when you're so primed and ready to be in front of the camera? What made you to have that decision?
So the thing is, like Baitis is not about me. Right. It really isn't. It's about the people. It's like, it's for the people. And even though, you know, the page doesn't follow anyone, everyone has a voice. Like people write anonymously with their problems, and everyone kind of gives their feedback and stuff like that. People didn't really know who ran the page until I started doing lives in the peak of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And when the pandemic happened and I did the virtual auctions, which was such a good time until it got really crazy.
Hold on, wait. You cannot continue. Because I know how conversations work. We're going to start talking about something else. We got to stay right here. What did these auctions entail, and how did they...
Okay. All right. So it was a virtual faux auction that I have the idea. Because the thing is, I understand. I didn't come out the gate understanding how to make content. It's just something I had to learn as I tried. You throw a bunch of stuff on the wall. Some things are going to stick. Some things aren't. But one thing that I've learned throughout the years about creating content is that you have to give, there are certain types of content that's going to hit: informational, entertaining, aspirational, inspirational, those type of things hit. And everyone was going live around that time for whatever reason, for no reason or whatever the case may be. So I just knew if I was going to throw my hat into the live game, that I would have to be doing something a little special. So I decided to go at it from the angle of I'm hosting a show. So giving it that type of structure where just we're going live 7 p.m. on the dot, and kind of let people know what we were doing ahead of time. There was a sign up list where just you're interested of being on this auction. The thing about what made it fun is there was no real money, so it was just the numbers could get all crazy, whatever the case may be. But essentially what it was a whole structure. I would come on live, you know, while people are joining. It's me. I don't know. Sometimes I would already be drunk, or sometimes you'll see the shift.
Yes, sir.
It's you'll see the shift. I always had a bottle of Prosecco that would usually get finished in the first hour. I'll be on there for hours. Mm-hmm. And I would always start the show with me dancing to a song and welcoming everyone. And then, you know, had the emoji game where each emoji meant something different. Like the peanut emoji was a peanut gallery, and the paddle was for the actual bidding, and popcorn if you're only there for entertaining. So I would always ask people in the beginning, what are you here for? And then, you know, all of the, because crowd participation was vital, because that's the only way you're going to get people to stay on a live.
Right.
So what would happen was I would, a whole bunch of people would basically request. I would accept people one at a time, interview them for about 10 minutes, ask. And then the thing is, the comment section was just basically Twitter. it was a lion's den. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was funny, but then it kind of started to get a little zesty, and then it started to get a little mean. By the time it started to get a little mean, less and less people wanted to participate. So that's kind of how it died out. Okay. But So I would ask questions, the chat would ask questions, and then after maybe 10 minutes or so of asking questions, the bidding would start, and whoever had the highest bid, you guys were supposed to go on a virtual date and then report back the next Friday with like an update in between like me doing new people. So like that was like, we had a good maybe 4 Fridays doing that where it was just like premium content before mm-hmm. it started to get a little
raunchy.
Just not what I wanted anymore. It just wasn't like, people just started to like air people out and like, and oh, this person didn't answer my DMs and started feeling entitled to people. And this man wasn't confident enough. And it was a lot. That's just what it was. And then you also would have people who would like find my personal Instagram to like complain to me as if I'm customer service about like, this guy didn't respond. And I know he didn't respond to other girls too, because we all was talking about it. And it's just like, what would you like me to do about this at 6:30 a.m.? Like, I don't know. And then you would also find people who would like find my Instagram to just try to like holler at me. And they're just like, one dude actually, I don't like to like speak about him too often because in hindsight, it was like a clout move, but he like shot his shot in front, like to me in front of like a whole bunch of people. And it was like very impressive at the time because it was just like, look at you. But it was absolutely just like, it was just a move to make so people could just be like, oh, I see you, Playboy. Like,
What made you come to that conclusion that he wasn't really interested in you and he was just
unless he just changed his mind, which I also know that happens, but it was just like, it was a lot of, it was full court press like for to get my attention. Like, first he tried to shoot his shot like privately, and like he sent me his number, and I just like liked it because I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like, and then on my birthday I went live, and then he came on and he basically put me on the spot. He's just like, yeah, I sent you my number, but you didn't do nothing with it. Ooh. And like this is in front of like 200 people, and so everybody's just like, oh yeah, call her out and stuff like that. and he's like, so when we going on our virtual date? And then I was just like, I'm usually a person who's not a loss for words, but I definitely was a loss for words. And then, and we had a virtual date. He sent food to my house and all of that. It was nice. But then he would just like, you know, now everyone's invested. How did the date go and all that kind of stuff? And then he would always want to give a play-by-play about like what I said and then what he said. And I was just like, you're giving so much information that like could really stay between the two of us. But it was just like, he was just kind of just feeding into the entertainment of it all in mm-hmm. hindsight.
Being corny. You know what I'm saying? Just having no decorum. I mean, he's showcasing wicked behavior. I mean, that's not how niggas do that in the streets.
So, it was so strange.
So that makes me think, right? I know you have a lot of TV. I know you have. Yeah. Bay dates, whatever have you. I know you have off the cuff and maybe some other things that I'm not really privy to. I'm just going to the things that in my eyes have gained the most popularity.
Okay. So
with you having this level of popularity in this particular subject, my question to you is, when a guy's coming to approach you, wanting to date you, whatever have you, what are things that you look towards? And before you answer that, let me just make it clear why I'm asking you this.
Okay.
It has become abundantly clear to me that curve culture has been reigning supreme. And wearing it as a badge of honor that you curve somebody has actually gained more popularity than going to the mountaintop with someone. So with everybody that listens to my show, whether it be men, women, whatever have you, you know, whether it be a woman not having the foresight to know what they're looking for when a guy's approaching them, or a nigga just having an abominable technique. When somebody's running down on you, whether it be DMs, in public, whatever, but you being the bay queen, head bay in charge, instead, what are things that you look for off the top?
I don't really think that I'm, like, looking for anything. I feel like and I'm not saying that's like a good thing, but I feel like my default is just to just be like, no, like, and that's not really productive as someone who I'm just like, yeah, a relationship would be nice, but it just like, I'm also just like, no. So I don't, it's counterproductive behavior, but I'm definitely not amongst the corny group who is just like, and by the way, guys, since you asked, yeah, I curved this guy. Like, that's not, I don't really see how that helps anyone, honestly. But I guess if I was to think about it, first of all, I don't really think there's like, because, you know, everyone, there's no template, right, for like speaking to the, you know, whoever you're into, whether it's the opposite sex or whatever, as far as just like, this is always going to work. I feel like, but kind of tailoring your approach based off who you're talking to would make a lot of sense. Like bringing up something that you know that they pay attention to makes a lot of sense. Finding a commonality, you know, being confident, you know, not being fucking weird. I feel like that's always that's always great, because sometimes it's just like men are just, I'm not just gonna say men, just people sometimes are just weird. It's just like, out of all of the options to be, like, you just chose to be a fucking weirdo. Just, I don't, it's so disappointing sometimes.
No, I definitely agree with you on that. So you have to have war stories, because you told me that, you know, I mean, as like when you're on autopilot, it's just no off the top, like for no specific reason, not because the vibe was off, not because the approach was off. You're just,
I think it's just fatigue. You just, sometimes you're just tired. So you're just like automatic, like, no.
Listen, you are speaking to a lot of women right now that don't have the voice, that don't have the ability to articulate themselves in this particular area. So for the men that are thinking like, man, why the fuck do I keep getting curved? You're saying it's fatigued. I need you to expound on that a little bit more. What got you to this place to where it's just no for everybody?
The thing is, it's like, I don't even have a bunch of war stories. So that's the thing about it. Mm-hmm. So my experience is a little, I wouldn't say a little different, because I'm sure like somebody could relate to it, but I've been in a relationship since I was like 17, and I've been in like long-term relationships since I was like 17.
Happy belated, my last.
What'd you say?
Happy belated, by the way.
Oh, thank you. 100%. I appreciate it. So, my last long-term relationship, I got in when I was 24, and we broke up when I was 29. And then a pandemic happened. And so basically I had to like re-enter the streets at 30 and that didn't know what to do. It's just like, okay, I don't. And then I realized it just wasn't even like the same type of niggas out here. It's just like, I just was just so confused as far as just like how people just make you feel like you're just wilding for just expecting decency. It's like everything has to be earned. Everything is like a merit system. Everything is just like I'm not doing this until I know you're doing this. It's just very strange. So, which I feel like puts everyone on the defense. So when you're constantly just like on the defense, or you're just questioning someone's motives, you're just tired and you just don't want to deal with any of it.
You know, we're very similar in that capacity, because I got into a relationship when I was 25, so this is 2015.
Okay.
And then I escaped that relationship.
Not escaped.
I escaped. I used that word. I know what word I just used. I escaped that relationship when I was... When I was 29, so this is 2019. So I was okay. I was in a long
time. Around the same time.
100%. And okay. I will say the landscape changed, in more ways than none, because, you know, I've been using this term, often, but it's kind of like the mistreatment Olympics out here.
Okay. Is it just self-explanatory? Like what it sounds like?
No, not at all. I mean, because I'll expound. So what I mean by that is, it appears as though, same thing I told you about curve culture, It appears as though, how can I get the most out of this person without doing anything for this person simultaneously? So, how can I treat this person like shit, give the bare minimum, not really care, but I'm just gonna highlight what I want from a person, period. And if you can't occupy the things that I want personally, then you just need to fucking fall back. So, like actual companionship, smooth conversation, camaraderie, just things that, can lend themselves to something actually happening from the situation is pretty much secondary to what can you do for me in the micro, as opposed to what can we build in the macro. So once I identify that, I'm like, all right, I'm about to become a hooligan because I'm gonna adapt to the situation. If you're gonna drop me around a whole bunch of assassins, hyenas, and lions, am I gonna get killed? Am I gonna get eaten when I'm asleep? Or am I gonna adopt, night vision? Am I gonna learn how to fight? So what I
So to
said,
be clear, are women the
people are the hyenas. So
hyenas?
this how it happens as far as like the chain of events. A nigga will come through, more than likely, I'll place the blame on niggas, and will fuck up the wave, right? Will mistreat
Okay.
her, use her niceness for weakness. You know what I mean? When she's doing things out of the merit of her
Unprovoked,
heart,
just
just
doing this.
unprovoked, just doing things that's just unsavory, right? That
Right.
woman is like, okay, it appears as though when I'm my nicest self, or when I'm open and when I'm honest and whatever have you, this doesn't work out in my favor. So I'm gonna start using niggas the way they use me. So me
Right.
coming out of a relationship where everything was peaches, roses, and candy, I'm like, oh,
Right.
I'll just treat.
Well, not really, because you said you escaped, but okay.
I escaped. I fucking escaped. Yeah, I mean, I created a plan. I got blueprint papers, all that type of shit.
You wouldn't do that if everything was peaches and roses, but
It
continue.
was peaches and roses until it
It was just
wasn't.
no, you're just like, in hindsight,
It wasn't.
what I was dealing with was
Right.
just far better than the
Exactly.
climate.
So now I'm in this new climate. I'm like, all right, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna just do what I did before. I'm gonna treat everybody with respect. I'm gonna be an upstanding citizen. I'm gonna be a gentleman. And then I'm just
Okay.
seeing like, and going from everything smooth to this everything isn't. And then I started hearing this term, started to gain traction. This isn't serving me anymore. So I'm like,
Okay.
so I wonder what this means. So once I started to break it down, put my mind to it, I'm like, okay, what this isn't serving me is you're not doing the things I think you should be doing as a person dealing with me. And if you can't, if you can't unlock what that means without me having to tell you, then maybe we're just not compatible, right? And I'm not sitting there talking like I'm super cuff man, like every girl I'm talking to, I'm trying to cuff. But I started to see like a pattern of what was happening to me. So then I just changed up on niggas. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna start. I'm gonna change it up. I'm gonna change
So
up on niggas.
this your villain origin story?
Right. You know what I mean? Because I went from being like the recipient of not misunderstanding to creating the misunderstanding. Like, you know what? Fuck that shit. This shit is about to start with me because enough is enough. So I definitely feel you, like, but I just feel like we just did things in different ways. You went from a space of like, all you niggas is weird, all y'all niggas is acting unsavory. So it's no until it's yes, and I don't know when it's gonna be yes. For me,
Right.
as the person that has to do the approaching as far as meeting people, I'm like, you know what? Everything's about to be on my terms, but if you like it or not. Because it's gonna end up being on your terms anyway when it's quote unquote not serving you anymore. So I feel like we're in like very similar spaces mentally as far as dating is concerned.
I don't know because because what is your end game? Like, what do you want?
Oh, that's the end of the question?
Yeah, what do you want?
It's very. So here's the thing. I can't want anything because something else I've learned is dating is about leverage, right? So I know you say you've only listened to one episode of my show, which is dope. I definitely appreciate that. But a lot of times I'm chronicling my life. I pretty much use this podcast as like my diary. And for whatever reason, I've garnered thousands of listeners from just listening to an average man in Long Island talk about his problems. So
Okay.
with me, it's like me getting what I want isn't the goal. What the goal is
Oh,
for me
but
to
you
gain
haven't even
leverage.
said what it is that you want. Do you know
But
what you want?
I know exactly what I want, but I don't even want to express it until I can gain leverage, because that's what dating
Okay.
is.
That's so sad, no?
It's reality, and that's how I view it. It's about reality. Because, and here's another thing. In my life, like, when you're speaking to people that I've dealt with, when you're speaking to other women that have dealt with other men, it's become abundantly clear that, like, how they're being treated and how expressive you are, how emotionally open you are, how receptive you are, the information, all this type of things, is very secondary to what you can provide. And this is cool because you have to do things, because it's not la-la land, you know what I mean? So in my head, I'm like, okay, until I have like a baseline of things that I can provide on a tangible level, the intangibles really won't matter. So my whole thought process is, until I can bring things on a tangible level to a situation, what I want really doesn't matter, because it's not going to come to fruition until I do my part. You feel me? So in the interim,
but you are aware of the things that you want. You just don't vocalize it, because you just like, I'm not in a position to kind of state these things because I have some prerequisites that I need to do first.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so in the interim, I'm just doing whatever floats my boat, basically just passing time until I gain the amount of leverage that I need to actually demand what I want, and then things go from there.
So while you're in this like limbo space, you know, between of what I want and what I have or whatever, are you just like not moving with intention? Like, are you just out here just like wasting people's time?
No, not at all. I mean, I make things abundantly clear when dealing with me, like what's going on, where my mind is at, whatever have you. And, you know, the entirety of my dating experience since I lost my virginity when I was 15, I never went into it like, yo, I want a girlfriend, because my views on dating is very different from other people. So with me, it's like, if I live the rest of my life being alone, okay, cool. If I live the rest of my life being a family man that's married with 10 kids, okay, cool. But I don't have like a list of things that I demand from the other person. The way I do things is, I meet you, I gather information about you, I see how I gel with you, and then I make a decision, do I want to build something with you in particular, as opposed to looking for a woman that can do like this checklist of things, right? So in doing so, I'm not really wasting anybody's time, because I don't really know where I want to take things with you until I get to know you. And then once I get to know you, I categorize you in the way you need to be categorized. Maybe you're just somebody who's fun, maybe somebody who's cool to talk to, maybe the box is fire, you understand? And you're shorty with the fire box, you know what I mean? Maybe you have an attitude problem, maybe you're possessive, maybe you're the jealous type, maybe I can take it to the top with you. So all these things is like literally a case-by-case basis. So because of that, I just do what I do, and I see who comes along as they come along.
Okay. I'll just stay tuned to see, like, okay, so this is what he wanted, since you're just like, however this pans out, I'm just going to assume it's what you wanted.
Exactly. Like, just know when I'm settled into a situation, it came with a whole bunch of thinking and a whole bunch of like comparing and contrasting the situation. Like, you know what? I found the medium, this is where I'm at. But you know, but back to content creation, because this is something that I really wanted to ask you.
Okay.
You know, preventing yourself from going crazy in this instance.
Okay.
So, unlike if you was like an architect, or if you was a software engineer, a lawyer, whatever have you, you know, your skill set usually has a payoff at the end once you show people, right?
But mm-hmm.
In content creation, how good you are doesn't necessarily have an award attached to it. The thing mm-hmm. that have awards attached to it is your ability to garner visibility to what you're doing and how good you are at maintaining popularity. So,
correct.
With you, I can tell you straight up, I've seen your work, and I've gone back on Instagram. I've seen different things and different lives that you've done. I've seen how confident you are, how well-spoken you are, how crisp you are in the way you communicate. There's not a lot of mumbling or stuttering or being at a loss for words. So being in a space to where you're not exactly where you want to be, but you have the skill set to be where you want to be, has to be challenging, especially when you was on that 3 to 4 year run of nobody giving a fuck about what you was doing. So what do you do to like self-motivate yourself in that space?
Wow, what an excellent question, because that is the life that I live.
Me like, too.
That is that is absolutely the life that I live. I would just say as a caveat, like what you speak to as far as just like, oh, just being so confident and so crisp and so well-spoken and all that kind of stuff. It's like, I feel like sometimes I can even just do that as a shell of myself where just like, because I'm not a person who's just here to like cap at all. So like, sometimes I feel like people are like disappointed when, you know, when I share like my struggles, or if I don't come across as confident as they like assume that I am. Or it's like, I'm not here for you to just have this ideal like thought of who I think I am, because I'm in therapy every Wednesday.
Really?
Like dealing with this stuff and like everything that comes with being a creative. So I'm just never here to lie about like fully enjoying the process, because absolutely not. This is not, like, this is hard. This is one of the hardest shit I've ever had to do. I've never had to look at myself like and advocate for myself and like at, like constantly just be like, am I good at this thing? Like more than I had to when I became an entrepreneur. And I didn't even become an entrepreneur by choice. It was like by force. It was like I wasn't getting hired, so I had to just use my skill sets to like try some stuff out. So what was the question about
knowing that you have what it takes, but things aren't panning out the way you would like them to.
Right.
So you just have to self-motivate with hopes that it's going to work out. Like, what do you do to stay focused?
Well, I'm not always focused.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not always motivated. The days that I am, I give it what I got. Like, not every day is 100% day, but it's like, did I do my best today? If the answer is no, just like, okay, we're going to try this again tomorrow. I feel like sometimes also like that toxic positivity stuff is just also counterproductive.
Toxic positivity. Like, wait. I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's something I've never heard before. Break that
okay.
down.
Toxic positivity is just when you're just like no bad vibes and stuff like that, when there are bad vibes. It's just like when you just don't want to acknowledge that, you know, things aren't too hot right now, because you're just trying to just have this blanketed positive mindset on things, or like, oh, God got me, or whatever the case may be. Whatever, you know, insert whatever general positive statement when things is looking a little rough, or, you know, you're not feeling your most confident. So I don't really subscribe to toxic positivity like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are days where it's just like, I just don't have it in me. I took a 2-month break from social media, and that is so, like, as a content creator, to take a 2-month break, and I'm like, this is how you make your money.
That's
like,
suicide, basically.
What do you say?
I said that's suicide in the content creation.
Yeah, space. Essentially, it was just like, and honestly, I came back because I had to. I was like, you need money, like, you need to come back.
Right.
And also, it was like around the time of promoting the season of Off the Cuff, so it's just like I had to come back. But it's like sometimes you just need a break because of burnout. What I try to do so I don't get kind of lost in all of that is I try to just produce more than I consume, put out more content than I'm like consuming of other people's content, so I just don't feel like I'm not getting what I quote unquote deserve. Just like focus more on the work than what you feel like an outcome that you feel like you've already deserved, because that's just gonna drive you crazy. Because, you know, there's a difference between your personal value and your market value. You know, like, you don't really get to determine your market value. So, you know, sometimes it just takes things a while to catch up to like how you already feel about yourself. So it's like what you decide to do in between that gap. So for me, it's just like, I decide to be human.
Right.
I decide that there's days where I'm just like, wow, I'm like, certain days I am drunk off myself and I think I'm the greatest person. And then other days I just think I'm no one. I am not shit. So, just allowing space for me to just be both people is, you know, is one thing I learned early in therapy is two things can be true. Right. Like, you could be ill and like, and you could still be overlooked.
Right. 100%. And so, you know, you said something in regards to you're not here to cap, but in our industry, capping is beneficial. So what makes you be so grounded when being grounded isn't going to get that money for, just from what I'm seeing from afar? Not you in particular and your money. I'm talking about in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I it still always shocks me when I see, like, people who, like, who are voluntarily capping. And it's just like, wow, like, so this was, like, an intentional decision. Like, this is crazy. Like, you know, like, that video with that guy who was just, like, fake hopping out of the helicopter?
Mm-hmm.
And he would just, like, yeah, I've been making moves. And it's just, like, the door was closed. It wasn't spinning at all. It was just, like, this is so strange. Like, that, like, this was the creative direction. Like, the creative direction was to lie. But I don't know. Maybe it just kind of just goes back to my core values. It was just like, I wasn't raised to be a liar.
Right.
So therefore, you know, that's what also kind of manifests in the work that I do. Is just like, I'm not, I don't create to lie. So I understand as far as just like creating ideas or sometimes selling a fantasy or an exaggerated version or ideal version, but it got to be rooted in some truth. Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? If like, are we just like, are we all in agreement to like a virtual reality that, you know, like, are you, it's like, what do you, if that's like the agreed upon thing, then I guess, but it's just like, I feel like I've been able to just kind of carve out my corner, and my corner is still very small and it's growing organically and I'm okay with that. But it's just like, it's just really been by like just being a normal person and telling the truth and asking honest questions and getting honest answers.
You know,
just like how you said, like, yo, you're just a guy in Long Island, just, you know, journaling or documenting your
life,
your life, and people are gravitating towards it. Maybe it's just a fresh air because it's just like, wow, everywhere I turn, there's Cap, and look at Reek telling the truth.
Exactly. And, you know, I've battled this myself. I was asking to get your opinion, but I was also asking because I was trying to compare and contrast. Because, okay, you know, let's take podcasting, for example. I know you, okay, have Bay Days to podcast. I don't know how far you take
it. No, I did three episodes, and, okay, like, people really did like it, but it was just like, I'm just a person where I'm just like, I'm going to do stuff of quality, and if I can't maintain the quality, then I'm going to, like, pause until I can figure out a way to kind of keep the quality going.
Okay. So, in the podcasting space, you know, you have just out-and-out liars. But there, like, and it's like, there's no other way around it. And, you know, with podcasting in particular, you know, there's certain things that will garner a certain level of listenership. If I was talking about sex, if I was talking about homosexuality in a certain capacity, or if I was talking about being gangster. Gender roles or being gangster. These are the four core things to get you popping for or be nothing to something, right? So,
okay,
in the space that I'm in, you know, because I've been on a podcast before that was getting 40,000 views an episode, whatever have you, that was grown organically. So I got to meet these other people that everybody loves. And, you know, you would see a pairing that gets 200,000 listens an episode that hate each other. Or you have people lying about how many subscribers they have. You have people lying about how many views they have. You have people going to buy clothes and returning them as soon as the episode is over. There's just all these things that provide smoke and mirrors, but if the audience believes that you're more popping than you are, then by proxy, you'll become popping because everybody goes towards the popping thing. You feel me?
Right.
So because of that, it makes you be like, maybe I should start bending the truth, because all I know, I've been on your show, right? So, so you know what I mean by this. I can very simply take a camera, start saying the most nonsensical things I can fucking think of, look directly in the camera, not smile, make everybody laugh, and everybody will start liking me, even if I'm being disingenuous, right? That's like the way to get
popular. But the thing is, I feel like that's what you did, and it worked. I don't know how serious you were in your answers, because I'm just like, I don't know this man, but this is hilarious, and he's saying all of this with a straight face.
Right, that's what I'm saying, because even, because I've been on shows before, as I was saying, so in my head, I'm like, I'm not here to be like generic and give like these roundabout answers that don't really mean nothing, or try to be super psychological and be like this cool person that has no problems. I know when I'm coming to a set of any capacity, the point of being there is to be entertaining. So I'm like, okay, all right, I'm gonna come through on my entertaining bag. Now, I mean, the shit is called, before I knew anything about anything, all right, the shit is called Bay Dates. So then I wasn't brought here to be like fucking Dr. Phil. I was here to make people laugh about dating. So that's what I decided to do. But what I'm saying is I can ramp it up to 1,000 to start crafting ideas. Like, I'm about to start telling people that I got sponsors. I'm about to start telling people I'm getting 10,000. And I'm about to start telling people that my viewership is in the fucking tens of thousands. And once the shit starts to getting out, I don't be out in the public and be like, yo, Reek, I see you doing your thing. Even if they've never listened to a thing ever in their life, yo, I see you doing your thing. But them saying, Reek, doing your thing is based off of lies that I created in the atmosphere.
Right.
And that, in turn, can make me popping because I've seen this happen.
But the thing is, for me, that wouldn't make me feel... I feel like I'll feel, like, convicted.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh man, these people are like buying into this lie. But I feel like that got to be in yours, or it's not. Like, some people are like totally fine with people buying into a lie.
Yo, it's so real. I have a segment on my show where I read emails. I've been to shows to where they have the producer of the show making emails up, making it seem like a fan sent it in just to fill out the segment. Like, out and out lies. You feel me?
Yeah.
And it's like, God fucking damn it. But these are the niggas. I don't want to name them, but these are the people that are winning, quote unquote. So I'm like, fuck, son.
But they're not. So here's the thing. Because those things have to translate in other areas, right? You can't, like, say, like, you have all this crazy engagement, but then when you want to go do a live show, no one's buying tickets.
Right.
Or when you're selling merch, no one's buying. It's like, because you're kind of creating this image of support that you're not actually cultivating support. Like, even though I have a very small corner of the internet of people who rock with me, it's still enough because those people rock with me in different mediums, whether it is engaging on social media, pulling up to a show, if I do an event, pulling up to an event, buying merch. And they also understand how seriously I take quality. So I'm not just here to just like boast about quantity, because I'm very dead ass about the things that I put out.
Right.
So whether it takes me 12 years to get there, I'm okay with that because I know every step of the way I did it with integrity. I sound like Gary Vee right now. But...
OD. OD.
But it's very true, because it's just like, why are we in this microwave Olympics where we're just trying to just like create things and trying to see who could do it faster? Because it's just like, dude, that's not even how you... I always think about like Beyonce, right? Like, she, like with like Coachella and stuff, her being the first Black woman to like headline a festival like that and stuff like that. But it's just like, it's what she did back in 97 that, like, you know, like all of those bricks from back then that, you know, 10 years later, 20 years later, that she's just able to, like, where people just like, oh, she's good for it. Like, whatever she's doing, I'm there. But if you just pull up and you're just like, hey guys, I got this thing, come pull up, support, it's just like, why?
How about what not, nigga? How about no?
Like, I got other things to do. Like, actually, I have nothing to do, but the answer is still no.
Facts.
Like, so it's just like, I just believe in like just a slow burn, because it's like those things, what you do in that time is like what's really going to determine whether or not like people fuck with you. So like writing these fake emails and all this type of stuff, go do a live show. And then when you have a segment for people to actually, like, you know, tell their problems on the mic, are people really getting up? Like, because you didn't really cultivate that. You just, you know, it was like this, like you said, a smoke and mirror thing. So smoke and mirrors is just like really short term stuff.
Agreed. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that. Last thing.
Like it's not real.
I agree. And the last thing, because I hate when I listen to shows, watch shows, movies or whatever, and somebody says they're going to get to something and they don't do it because they forgot. You alluded to Beyonce earlier in the episode. And you were saying that I need to move with the mystique of Beyonce to maintain some integrity about myself. So whenever I do pop out, niggas are appreciative of it, right?
Right.
So my thoughts this whole time has been like this. The best way to get popping in any type of media is through black people. Specifically women, teenagers, and gay people. These are the people that make you famous, right?
So, interesting. Okay.
So in my head, I'm like, okay, maybe I can go on this show and this show has 20 viewers. But if I'm funny here and if I'm entertaining here, these 20 people will fuck with me. And then I go over here, maybe this people have 100 people. So it's kind of like this brick by brick mentality to where I'm in no space to front on nobody. So why not try to get as much visibility on myself as possible, no matter what the landscape is? Because Beyonce had the... whether you want to refer to him as a genius or not, she had the creative vision of her father.
Right.
Which is proven to be a man that you would like to listen to, right? Because taking four little girls from Houston and making them the biggest pop act in America, that's not accidental. Know what I'm saying? So with me, it's like, all right, this is just me. How can I get more visibility of myself? Oh, this person is actually interested in me? Little old me? All right, I'm over there. Oh, this person thinks I'm interesting? All right, fuck it. I'll give you 45 minutes. And then just by this is how I've gotten the listeners that I have on this show that I'm recording right now.
But right.
You disagree. And why is that?
Because of the one, I wouldn't look at yourself as, oh, little old me. Just like they have value, so do you. So it wouldn't be a thing where you're just like, oh, they're going to get me hot, because it's just like, you are also bringing value to their platform. That's why they are inviting you. But also to go back to what you said before, just like you said, you've been on all different types of sets with all different types of professionalism. And, you know, where some stuff was a shit show and some stuff wasn't. I just also am very careful with who I align myself with, because I just need to know that you are dead ass about your craft the way that I am. Because I'm not trying to have unnecessary chinks in my armor, because I decided to do some fuck shit with somebody who just wasn't as serious about their brand.
Right.
So I think just kind of just doing like due diligence in that way, it's just like, how serious is this person about the things that they do before I just like sign on to be it? You don't want to start doing like random cooking shows and like all these things, just, you know, like, just for the sake of, you know,
exposure.
I just really just think that you have it, and you just need to just be a little bit more protective of who you share it with.
Use more discernment in who I align myself with, right?
Yeah. I mean, don't you ever look back at some of the stuff that you did and you're just like, okay, this was unnecessary.
100%. 100%. But, you know, I pair that with, for whatever reason, I've told myself, like, you know, this is what work ethic is. You do what you don't want to do to get the results that you want. So in my head, I'm like, okay, maybe that shit was a waste of time. But it wasn't a waste of time, because I might have gotten 2 viewers out of this. I might have gotten 5 followers out of this. I might have gotten, yo, who's this guy? Because even in my comment section, yo, I heard you on such and such show, and I've been following you ever since. So I'm like, all right, if I'm on more shows and I'm putting myself out there more than more, then I'll start to garner more listenership. So that's what I've always thought.
But so you're taking, you know, like an artist that comes out and they just take the features route? Like, I'm doing features with everybody.
Yeah, 2 Chainz and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. You're taking that route where you're just like, I'm doing features with, you know, with everybody. I'm going to be on a, you know, wherever I'm invited, I'm going.
Right. I mean, this is what hard work is in my head. That's before having this conversation with you today, That's how I always thought of it as. Like, in order to get anywhere in this life, you need to have work ethic. So
I absolutely agree with you, but I also just believe in like oversaturation, where it's just like sometimes the work is not valued the same because it's so. You remember, like, at a point, everybody was like, everybody got a mustard beat because right. every record on the radio was a mustard beat, and it's just like these beats are still fire, but it's like because everyone has access to it, it probably loses its like specialness. Right. Like, because success is creating a demand and then making that demand scarcity. Like, so I understand that. I understand the buildup, but at a point you're going to have to, like, the nose is going to start to have to roll in because it's you also understanding your value. And like, you know that when you pull up, you're going to give 110%. And is this platform worth 110%?
And if I've learned nothing else about you, you are the queen of no.
So if I'm gonna, like the princess, like I can't be the queen of no. I'm on your show, and I had no idea what we're about to talk about. So 100%. I can't be the queen of no. Like, right. I am not. I be saying yes. I be going on. Like, I started going on dates. Like, I went on a date yesterday. Like, so you know. Like,
I be saying yes.
Things are changing.
I mean, I love that. So Lade, head bae in charge, where can they find you?
Okay, so follow Bay Dates on Instagram. I'm going to get better as far as just like going to different platforms because I feel like Bay Dates needs to be on Twitter. And I just be on Twitter like, what is it? Ghost following, ghost watch. It's just like Twitter is the greatest. It is such a funny place, but I say I contribute nothing there, but I laugh at everything.
I got you a few followers on there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. With the clip that you reposted, I appreciate that. But I feel like I need to bring my presence to Twitter. But it's just like again, like I said, building things from the ground up, you just got to mentally prepare for that. But follow Bay Dates on YouTube, YouTube/Bay Dates. Watch a binge for season one of Off the Cuff. See Reek in a few episodes. You close out a couple of episodes because you're just like, let's put them at the end because this is funny. We actually had a pre-production meeting for season two, and we had like different like levels of like when we were going through the cast of season one as far as like standouts, who we would invite back, and like maybes and no's and stuff like that. And you absolutely was like one of the first like standouts that we mentioned, so we absolutely would want you back for season two. But you know, we don't know, since you might be the king of no's now. I don't know if you listen, I don't know, listen, if you're getting your Beyonce bag and you start telling us no. So
because I'm so competitive, what will happen is every time y'all would involve me in a clip or y'all would give me an isolated clip, I will look at that clip, likes and views, and compare it to others. I'm like, oh, I'm beating these niggas. Look at this. I'm the funniest nigga on the show. This nigga is fucking with me. Like,
so. You're just like, ain't nobody come to see you, Otis. Right. Like, they here for me. Like, no, you definitely, before this was even edited, I saw your star quality. So it's a no-brainer for me to want you back for season two.
I'll be there.
But that's if you want to be back. I'll be there. So yeah. Follow Bay Dates on Instagram. We don't even know how to spell Bay Dates. BAEDATES. Did I spell that right? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
my personal page. Sure. Fine. Alade. O.LAIDE. Again, please do not be offended if the automatic answer is no. It's just, I'm just working my way out of a no space to get to a yes space, you know, to converse with people. I'm also trying to be more open to like collaborating with people because I kind of mostly work as an island, and like, that's not conducive to like wanting to scale. So if you have a good idea and you can figure out if you see a way that for, you know, some synergy for us to like collaborate, I'll be open to that as well. Yeah. So thank you so much for having me on your show. This is not difficult at all. I just didn't know what direction you was about to take this. I thought you was about to start talking about gender wars and all of that type of stuff.
Nah. No gender wars. Not at all. But here's the thing about me. I didn't know the direction of the conversation either.
Okay.
I fucking never know. I just fucking have people on. I just start saying shit. You feel me? So thank you once again so much for saying yes to me. A rare yes in 2022.
Yeah.
Hopefully there will be more yeses in the future. And with that being said, peace and blessings, pass the dressing, and I'll speak to you niggas on Monday. Holla.